It's Tuesday, August 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Hey, everyone. I want to remind you that you can find more great podcasts over at TechPodcast.com. All child safe, work safe. Make sure you go over there and check out all the great content. And get ready, get strapped in, because we've got a great show for you tonight.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and of course, as always, all my long-term faithful listeners, thanks for tuning in or staying subscribed, and hey, we got a great lineup for you today. Hey, it's obviously it's Tuesday, and I hope everyone is back at work and back in full swing of things. I know that I definitely am, and also, if you're I wanted to also welcome all of our new listeners. I know we've been adding some numbers recently. I've been watching the number of subscription rates have been going up. Make sure that you get over to the main website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Check out the podcast link for all the archive shows. And, of course, subscribe to the mailing list, which is there is a link from all of the main pages. Hey, I hope everyone had a good weekend. I know that... here, I basically had a honey to-do list, so my significant other had me busy doing all kinds of chores that had been neglected over here over the last couple of months. She, her and I had a discussion. You know how those discussions go, right, fellas? And so I definitely closed the lid to the computer and took care of things here around the home. And she reminded me, too, that we have not been on vacation in about, well, it's been about 2 years. And as much as I like vacations, it just seems like we can never quite get one organized the way we want to. But my folks are coming out to Hawaii in December. So I think what we're going to do is, for the very first time ever, we're going to take a cruise. And they actually have a cruise that departs out of Honolulu, goes to all the major islands. It's about a week's worth of cruising. I think that might be something that we'll do. We'll drop the kids with Grandma and Grandpa and head out and do something. So that she's kind of looking forward to that. And it's got all the brochures pulled out. You know, I told her, I said, hey, we can go where it's cold for vacation. Of course, I got the look that you don't want to get. But, you know, one of the listeners sent me an email, said, so what did you think of the last, the season finale of 6 Feet Under? And I'm like, what is 6 Feet Under? And, I had actually said that in reply to the email, and I kind of, someone said, I guess you don't watch any TV, do you? And I, honestly, I don't. I haven't ever watched this show. So, maybe next year I'll put that, if it's syndicated, maybe I'll put it up and have it, I recorded next year and watch it. Okay, for those of you that listen to terrestrial radio, I'm going to be on a syndicated radio show called Computer America. It starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, obviously 7 Pacific. I'll have a link to that show in the show notes. I do believe that show is streamed, so you can listen in on the stream, and I believe you also can get in on the chat. I did find I had a link from one of the people I know in Belgium that is creating a new podcast directory tool, and he sent me a link to that tonight. And I was looking at it, I said, man, this thing's awesome. So those of you that are into building directories and that kind of stuff, I'm going to link this up, and looks like this has some definite potential to it, and we'll be talking more about that tool along with some other OpenMail editing tools later in the program. There's a new book out that I've been scouring through. It's called Hacking Mobile Type. It's published by the same publisher that published my book, Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide. It's under the Extreme Tech series. And for those of you that are movable type users, and this isn't a advertisement or nothing, but I've just been reading this myself. Awesome book. You know, got a lot of great tips and tricks in there. So if you're a mobile type user, this is one that you're going to want to pick up. Hey, you know something? You know, I, for all the things I do on the net, and as much as I surf around and check things out, I have never really gotten, really dialed into Delicious. So if any of you guys are Delicious, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct phonetically. If any of you are using that on a regular basis and are gurus in that, why don't you send me an email? Let's set up a time and we can chat about that website. And you can dial me in completely on how to use it and set the tags up, the Delicious tags, etc. Okay, I think that's all I've got in my basic show notes. Let's see about saving you guys some money, okay? Get your own piece of the internet now at GoDaddy.com. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fun, fast, and affordable. Right now, .com names are just $3.99 when you purchase any other product. Plus, my listeners get an additional dollar off any order. Just enter Geek2, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 2 as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. Okay, now we've been working on the next presentation that we're going to have over at Tech Podcast on September 3rd with our new our next live GoToMeeting event, and I think we pretty much locked down all the topics. I'm still trying to get a guest in, and I've sent him some email. I don't know if it's going to work. Dave, if you're listening to this podcast, we would love to have you on during the live event, and we'd like to show off your OPML scripting tool. I think that would be something that all of the listeners would get some great value out of, and you've created a great tool there, so we want to promote that for you. Along with that, if we don't get Dave, then I'll probably be the one doing the demonstration on the tool. But we're also going to be talking about news aggregators and things that you can, different ways you can use news aggregators to improve the way you find information on the internet, how you can create link blogs real easily. Everything is dealing around aggregation, RSS, OPML, and of course this OPML editor tool by Dave Weiner. And plus, we have got a special hack that we have determined using the new Microsoft Word application in conjunction with Blogger, to be able to use that tool with your own weblog. Oh, yeah. Does that pique your interest? So I think that's one of the topics that we're going to be talking about on September 3rd. But anyway, the information is going to be in the show notes. And here I'll give you the promo on the GoToMeeting events. The TechPodcast.com roundtable is going dynamic with GoToMeeting. Everybody had such a great time with the product the first time we used it, that we will have live events with GoToMeeting again and again. GoToMeeting allows us to share what's happening on our desktops in real time. We will be demonstrating websites, software projects, and all sorts of solutions on our presenter screens. And when it comes time to answer your questions, you'll see the answers unfold before you. GoToMeeting allows us to share your screen just as easily as it is to share ours. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. To get this special deal, head to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. You'll love what you see. One thing I want to mention is these events are more than just about sponsorship events. These events are, we're doing a lot of work to put together some valuable information for you. So it's just not about a big promo for GoToMeeting, but it's also a way for us to give you guys something back, some great information, some tools that you can use. And we're trying to direct this one towards everyone. You know, everyone that's listening to the show, whether you do a weblog or not, it's a way to improve the way that you absorb and able to get through content that you're faced with every day. But okay, I've got a lot of information tonight. Got some listener email. I have a promo that actually was sent in. It's not a promo. It's a product review from Reb Tim at RebTim.com. It's his personal experience with a microphone that he bought. That's a MXL microphone. And I'm a kind of partial to MXL microphones myself, But I'll let you listen to what Reb Tim from RebTim.com has to say about this microphone. And I think what's cool about it is the how it's designed.
Hi, Todd. This is Reb Tim from the Reb Tim Podcast. I wanted to send you a sample of this MXL-MARK, which simply stands for MXL Audio Recording Kit, microphone that I purchased in Colorado while I was on vacation there. And what I found is this microphone is great because you don't have to have an external mixer. You don't have to have all the cords that go with it. It has basically an XLR out that goes to an 8-inch middle port, so you can plug it directly into your laptop or your iRiver or audio recording device without having all that external stuff going on there. It's a large diaphragm condenser microphone, and instead of needing phantom power, it comes with its own socket for a 9-volt battery. Put the 9-volt battery in, tune it on, and you have the sound of a higher quality microphone for only $99 without all the extra stuff. Anyhow, I really enjoy your show. I listen to it all the time. You have a wonderful day, and thanks for giving me the time.
Thanks, Rev Tim, for sending that in. I really do appreciate it. You know, and I think I've been looking for a mic that I can use with my some of the recording gear I have, and I think I'm going to have to give this thing a try. I do like the ability of it to be used with an iRiver and get that higher quality, and it's got the, you know, it's got the mini jack plug. That's the cool thing. It's that you don't see on too many mics. Okay, got some listener email from, let's see, the first one was from Steve. Hey, aloha. You, I'm sure you've been enjoying your vacation in Maui. Take care. Have a great time. And I'm definitely going to be listening to your show. He produces a podcast called Life Spring Podcast over at lifespringpodcast.com. Hey, Steve, when you get back to the mainland, make sure you send me a promo, okay, at geeknewspromo@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to play it. Okay, got an email from Bill R. Comments from show number 92, and this is show number 93. And he talks about long-range wireless, and we had talked about some long-range wireless Wi-Fi devices. And this is some valid information here for everyone. And I'm going to read the number one comment that he put on here. It says, please note that there will be a much greater degradation of performance per client when one station is at extreme range. The CSMA/CA wireless Ethernet protocol requires an open channel from the AP, which is held open for the transmit station per packet. When the distance between the stations are greater, the amount of time required to hold the channel open causes the knee of the performance curve to drop faster. Basically, that's how fast performance degrades for the number of clients attached to an AP. Probably okay for a very small number of clients, but I wouldn't recommend it for even a small apartment complex. It's kind of your mileage will vary. And it's a question I'm sure you've already way too familiar with. And I do understand that. And this is definitely an issue, especially when you get a whole bunch of clients up on a Wi-Fi network and all of those clients are trying to talk to that, that device. It basically, you're dealing with the speed of light, time between for transfer, obviously, and some other variables there, speed of the switch, etc. So, obviously, these long-range wireless APs definitely have some advantages when you have a small number of clients, but not a large number. So, thanks, Bill, for the comments, and he also makes basically comment on why game consoles over PCs. And I guess it should have been pretty obvious to me. And he's basically saying that game manufacturers can build to a common denominator within the game stations themselves. Whereas when people are running games on a PC, they're dealing with lots of different hardware. So it's much tougher for the game designers to build a game app that'll work on every PC that's out there. So good points from Bill. Thanks. Adam sent me a email that basically points out a NASA interview that was done over on the podcast network underneath the Gadget Show. So check that out. And if you guys are interested in these and how NASA communicates with the space shuttle, this is probably a good podcast to listen to. It's very in-depth, interesting, and geeky. So thanks, Adam, for that link, and I'm definitely going to download it and check out that podcast. Let's see our guest. And of course, we already got the audio demo from Tim. So we're going to continue on with the regular content. I got a pile of it today. Found some great stuff. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news. And here's a kind of a cool thing to do. This is not necessarily a geeky tech thing, but have you guys seen this website? There's a new website out where you can use a Flickr image to create a customized magazine cover. It's kind of a fun thing that you can do to take a picture that you may have on your Flickr directory and to import it and build a custom magazine cover. It'll look just like a magazine cover, and you can print it, and then you can share it with all your friends and say, hey, check this out. I was, see what magazine I was on. So, kind of a little fun thing to do, kind of nerdy, but, it's fun. Now, I was totally blown away today when you guys have heard me talk about the podcast hotel, right? It was on in a certain date, then the dates got changed, then it got canceled. And now I'm seeing a note here. It says the podcast hotel lives. And apparently Alex over at Carrante has sent a note to Chris Aprilo. And they're going to basically do, it's going to call it Podcast Hotel Jams or something like that. And they changed the dates, and it's going to be, it's going to happen in Portland, like it originally was. But I'm just going to put the link up here. They're going to be doing stuff with indie bands and going after, it's going to be kind of a music-focused event. So we'll link this over to Chris Brillo's site. So any of you that are into indie music and live in the Portland area, I guess this event is back on. So you can check that out. Hey, here is the news story of the day. Google is going to be releasing a new desktop beta, and they may have already released it, but I'm looking at, oh yeah, it looks like it's out. This thing has got all kinds of crazy new stuff that it does, and there's quite a few plugins for it. It's going to install and do a greater amount of search. For those of you that are using the Google desktop search already, and I personally use it, I've tried some of the other competitor products, and they have not been as, not as good as finding stuff or indexing stuff. But the Google desktop version 2 is in beta, and man, this thing's got all kinds of capability to it. So you're going to be able to search more documents. It looks like it's going to scan PDF files. What else is it going to do? It's going to go, there's going to be an addition to Outlook. It's going to have some sort of a tag or some sort of a tool. It's going to add to the Outlook toolbar. There's going to be news in the sidebar. You're going to be able to access Gmail, the whole nine yards. So I don't know if I want something in up on my sidebar or in a sidebar from Google taking up room on my desktop all the time. So I'll get this thing loaded up. Just didn't have time to do it today. I'll give you a more in-depth report, but I'll have a link to the Inside Google weblog, so you guys can check that out. Of course, they've got all the links to this over there at desktop.google.com. Okay. In addition, we've talked a little bit about maps here recently. And a lot of people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff with the APIs from Google, from MSN, and they're coming out with all kinds of really cool tools. And I found one today. It's called thedatafarm.com/virtualearth, and it's basically Virtual Earth on Ink. And I'm just going to let you guys, I put this up in the show notes, you guys can go over and play with it, and I think you'll have a lot of fun with it. In addition, there was another one that I found that is called Smug Maps, and it combines photos from Flickr and other services that actually tie into map locations. So if, you know, someone takes a picture of a certain area and they have the address for it, they can actually link photographs from people that have been, you know, photographs people have taken on the ground. So pretty cool there too. Okay, I'm always on the lookout for things that are going on in the media, basically where technology has allowed some dramatic changes in the way media is delivered. And what I found a very interesting article over on Todd Maffin's site at iloveradio.org, where he talks about the some workers who are locked out at the Canadian Broadcast Corporation. Basically, what these guys that are locked out are the ones that are on strike right now. And I guess there's about 5,500 people that are on strike. What they're going to do is they're going to compete against their employer. They're setting up office and studio space in Toronto. And they're going to be creating, there was a yawn, they're going to be creating just their regular daily newscast that they would normally produce for CBC. And they're going to be putting those out as podcasts. And they're going to be rolling out local and regional news. They're going to be expanding into current affairs and coverage and perhaps even video casts. So in effect, they're just going to route around their employer. Now, if these guys can do that, why can't podcasters do that? And I'm not necessarily saying route around them, but compete with. And this is some of the ideas behind Podcaster News Network over at PCN that we're getting ready to launch. So I think this validates that, you know, obviously these guys are professional writers and producers. So, you know, they've been doing this for a long time. But this labor dispute has allowed them to realize that they can basically create their own content and they don't need the big media company to distribute it. So more power to them. I think that's pretty cool. Now, for those of you some of you may have attended Dave Weiner's OPMO Roadshow that was in Berkeley over the weekend. And if you did, like to hear from you. If you didn't, there's some good information on ZDNet. I will put up the link to that. A lot of people have linked to it and talked about the presentation and some of the ideas that they were able to glean from that presentation. I sure would like to get Dave on our program on September 3rd to do the same thing, to give you guys, you know, those of you that are remote, to give you an idea what this thing can do. But I think if you guys look at this article, you'll get a pretty good idea of the power in this application. In security news, you know, it's always been a pretty well-known fact that a lot of the break-ins that companies have are basically inside jobs. Or someone has social engineered to get access to a network, or an employee may have had a weak password, etc. Well, it appears that they are using a weakness within Windows to use USB devices to basically steal data. And I'm not going to go into the basis of how they're doing this. I'll link the article up. It kind of talks about what they're doing and where the vulnerability sets within Windows XP. But I guess Microsoft has known about this glitch for a while and have not patched it. They did not patch it in the August 2005 security update. But researchers have found fault in the way that the Windows XP drivers handle USB auto run and USB raw sockets. So in essence, someone can walk into your business, plug in a USB stick on a computer. You know, this is, you think about how many people roam your hallways of your companies and maybe sit in a cubicle waiting for the employee walks out while the customer's in the cubicle. You know, how hard would it be for a person to pop in a USB stick and let this execute some code? And if it's sneaky enough, they could, you know, basically plug it in, do its dirty business, and then they pull the USB stick out, and your network has basically been compromised. I don't know if it's going this far. There are some suggestions that they recommend here, and they basically say that system admins should go into the registry within Windows and disable the auto-run feature. And I guess for those of you that are not technically inclined or don't have to worry about this type of thing, obviously you don't want to do that. But this is a way to keep this type of an attack from happening, or a breach of your security. I guess if someone's going to be in your building, or if you have an employee that wants to do something, they probably will, regardless of all of the, all of the things that you put in place to stop it from happening. You've all read the like Ripley Believe It or Not type list before, where people do crazy stuff, and you just kind of like beat your head against the wall, saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe a person did that." There's a list out that was published by OnTrack Data Recovery, and they have unveiled a list of the 10 most strangest and funniest computer mishaps. I'm going to link this up in the site. I'm not even going to go into these. Some of these are kind of silly, but they're kind of good for a 2-minute laugh, good for a short read. So I'll put this up in the show notes. The title of this article is Top 10 Data Destruction Disasters. Now, if you thought commercials on billboards were bad enough, what would you think of a billboard that tried to beam you via Bluetooth a media clip as you are driving by? Well, it seems that in the UK, they are using Bluetooth to do just that. And what's even more amazing is over 17,000 people have accepted the ads. This is an article that's on Slashdot. Basically, the end comment on this article says, when billboards know your name, that's when you really need to worry. I would think so. My goodness. Okay, in a very interesting development, Apple is demanding that a French website remove the OS X on Intel videos. Apparently, Apple is not very happy that people have gotten OS X to run on an Intel computer. Well, imagine that. You would think that that would cause them to be concerned, don't you? So, apparently, they have asked for this information to be removed. Now, question is, did these French websites actually do that? It doesn't say. But anyway, they've got a list of the issues. And, of course, I understand why Apple's upset. But for those of you that continue to be intrigued about what's going on in this development, go ahead and check out this article over on eWeek. I want to expound on a subject I talked about on the last show. It talks about Mambo, and some of you have probably have been following this in the news over the weekend, but all of the core developers over on the Mambo CMS project have basically walked away from the primary website where all the development was going on and have formed their own in a website that is called opensourcematters.org. And basically, it is a situation where, as it appears, Miro, who is the company that holds the copyright and trademark to the actual Mambo name, whereas the Mambo source code, the actual code that goes to this CMS application, is open source. So basically, the only thing that Miro really holds over these developers is the name of the application's name. But they formed a foundation, the Miro's founder did, formed a foundation called the Mambo Foundation Incorporated. And they appointed people to the board, but completely excluded the developers from the board. And it was kind of considered like a power play to take control of the application's development. So the developers basically had enough and walked away wholeheartedly from the main websites that everyone goes to get Mambo builds, all the third-party stuff. And it looks to me, from the traffic that I've been reading, is that thousands of people have literally moved off of the Mambo website and moved over to opensourcematters.org and are supporting the developers over there. I'm going to put a couple of links up in the show notes to some of the commentary that's going on. And we actually got a mention on news.com for the blog article that we wrote on it. And I'm just going to read the comment that they quoted from my website. It says, "The smoke and mirror tactics of the new Mambo Foundation is a sad example of how to destroy a community of loyal followers. They, being Miro, must realize now they are in deep trouble as people have in mass moved to the developer's website at opensourcematters.org. Another comment was from CMS Watch, "When there's a struggle between the founders and the community in a mature project, I have to believe the community will win in the long run." And I do believe that too. The final comment on the posting says, "What can you do about this injustice? Stop using Mambo and stop suggesting it to your clients? Don't support corporate takeovers or open source software?" Another good point from a strategic designer. So anyway, you guys keep an eye on that. I know some of you are Mambo users. I got quite a bit of email from all of you saying, see if you can find out more information. I'd actually requested an interview with someone from the Mambo Foundation, but have yet to be able to hook up a time to talk to them. Do you all remember a few months ago when a DSL provider basically blocked access to Vonage voice IP phone traffic, and how the FCC basically quickly stepped in and put a stop to it? The Vonage is kicking up the volume a little bit here, and they are asking for some legislations or a bill of rights. And basically what they are saying is that a customer has to have access to a certain baseline of services. Jeffrey Citrone, chairman and chief executive of Vonage, said at a Progress and Freedom Foundation conference that took place, the government should enforce a broadband bill of rights, including a minimum service level, the ability to connect to any lawful website, and the ability to connect any device to the internet. You know, I think so far, most ISPs, service providers have been very good in that they have not blocked services. Now, I know that a lot of the cable companies limit people from obviously running FTP servers and that type of stuff on their broadband connections as part of their, allowable usage on their network. But DSL providers and cable providers are basically saying that, hey, we don't need this. You know, we're already giving equal access. We're not blocking stuff on the internet. But then again, apparently there is there are three U.S. broadband providers have blocked Vonage calls, and even one Midwestern operator charges customers a $10 a month extra fee if they use Vonage. It's because they've got a competing service. So I think Vonage may have something to go on here. It may have a legitimate beef, but I think DSL and cable providers are just going to have to learn to play nice with these competing services. I know here in Hawaii, we have available voice IP phones that you can get through Time Warner Cable, which is Roadrunner, basically. And they don't block Vonage, so they're playing fair here, but I know that's not the case everywhere. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this, if Vonage pushes this any farther, goes to Congress and asks for some legislation. And it all basically boils down to your ability to use the services that you pay for on your internet connection. Personally, I don't think anything should be blocked. I think people should be able to do on their broadband connection whatever they want within reason, as long as it's not illegal. It looks like that the music labels are starting to wake up to the fact that digital music is not going to be going away. And over the last few days, there's been talk of sanctioned CD-free e-labels, them working with peer-to-peer networks. So the question is, does this mean that the recording industry is basically saying, okay, we're ready to accept what's going on in a digital divide and to start playing? I don't know if that's going to happen or not, to be honest with you. I think that the recording companies are still all about digital rights management, and they are about impeding fair use, in that everything that they've tried to put in place so far, of course, most of it's been routed around, is that, you know, they want you to basically pay for music and stuff multiple times. You know, they don't want people cross-decking the music that you buy. So it's going to be interesting to see how this develops down the road, but apparently the music labels, there is a little bit of indication that they're starting to wake up. Here's a title that might grab you. Here comes Google Voice. And basically, it's rumored that Google is going to be introducing an instant message client that is going to be voice-enabled. And this was reported over on the website called Google Rumors. I didn't even know there was a Google Rumors site, but googlerumors.com. So I guess we're going to be continuing on with seeing Google assert their influence upon the entire internet community. So we'll see what happens here and where they go with that. Okay, those of you that are photography buffs, have you guys checked out this new Canon EOS 5D, a 12.8 megapixel full frame DSLR camera? But are you sitting down? Here's the price tag, $3,299. That's right, $3,299. If I'm going to spend $3,200 for a camera, that thing better be able to take a picture of an ant at 2 miles away. But it's the thing that I like about the specs on this thing is it's got a max burst rate of 3 frames per second. I think that's the thing that's missing on most of the digital cameras that most of us are buying today. Is, you know, you push the button, click, and then about half a second later, the shutter finally clicks, and usually you've missed the shot. Doesn't that just irritate you? So, but I don't think it's worth the $3,200. I'll go back to 35 millimeter film if I have to. Okay, the mobile revolution begins here. There's a website called Pod2Mob, and it's a site that's designed to help get podcasts onto your mobile phones or mobile devices. So check out pod2mob.com. In the science front, there's a new machine out. It's called a breath scanner. It detects cancer on the breath. Now, I know some of us wake up in the morning and have pretty horrendous breath, but apparently they've got this machine now, hooks you up like, it plugs your nose and you have to breathe into a tube, and it actually detects diseases by analyzing a patient's breath. And clues to anything from cancer to transplant rejection can show up in the midst of saliva, and this is kind of gross, the inner juices that you exhale every few seconds. So I wonder how effective this thing is. But this was over on Gizmodo. Pretty cool little medical device. And nice to see that they are being able to do this type of preventive or actually detection levels just through checking out what we're, you know, what's coming out of our lungs. There's the DVD wars are basically kind of over. And we've heard about there's been two factions that have been fighting over HD DVD versus Blu-ray DVD, and basically they have given up trying to come to an agreement. So what it's going to boil down to now is you're going to see components in the store that are going to have two different formats. You're going to have Blu-ray disc and HD DVD. So now it's going to be just a bloody war within the, you know, in the market. It's obviously going to help drive prices down, but which side do you pick? You know, do you buy an HD DVD or do you buy a Blu-ray player? And what happens when HD DVD wins or vice versa? So it's too bad that these companies, primarily Sony and Toshiba, could not have come to an agreement. But we have this to look forward to. And we haven't seen this in a while in commerce applications, but you know, stand by and buyer beware that we're going to see two different types of format coming out in machines that are going to be on the market. I found a pretty cool non-technical website called cyberjournalist.net. Pretty good articles in here. I'll just link it up and you guys can check it out at your leisure. There is a couple of scientists that are basically took a personal wager where they have one's basically saying that the planet is going to get cooler over the next decade, and then another one's saying it's actually going to get warmer. So they've got a 10,000 wager going. Now, the question I guess I would ask all of you guys is, do you think that the planet's going to get warmer, or do you think it's going to cool down? And the basis upon this is that the scientist that says that the planet is going to get cooler is reckoning this on the fact that there are going to be a lower solar flares and that type of stuff going on with the sun. And a lot of scientists seem to think that the activity on the sun has nothing to do with the temperature of the planet and relate it back to global warming, etc. If I were a betting man, I think I would go on the side of the planet getting hotter. I just see us doing too many things to damage our environment that's causing the planet to continue to heat up. So we'll see what happens. This is an article over on Guardian Unlimited. Those of you that use Adobe products, there is a weblog now for Adobe has some blogs, and I'll go ahead and link this up. It's at blogs.adobe.com. Apparently, O'Reilly has joined the search engine spam parade. And I'm not going to say too much about this, except I'm going to let you go ahead and read this yourself. But there's a pretty big slam on a website that's talking about something that's going on over there that probably you all need to be aware of if you're actually visiting different O'Reilly websites, primarily the O'Reilly's OnLamp.com website. So I'll just let you guys check that out yourself. Space Shuttle Discovery is back in Florida. It had some delays in Louisiana because of weather, but it's back there. And, of course, NASA's announced that the October launch has been scrubbed, and it'll be at least March before they get back in the air. So it's good to see Discovery's back at the Cape, and they get to work on that as soon as possible. According to Asa Dulzer, Chris Prillo is going to be publishing Firefox tips and tricks on his web developer mailing list over at LockerGnome. So if you want to get in on that, go over to Chris's website at channels.lockergnome.com/web. Link will be up in the show notes, and you guys can get in on those tips and tricks that he's going to be publishing for Firefox. Okay, 41 minutes, and I've gotten through the content relatively quickly tonight. I want to thank you for staying subscribed. I've been getting to the shows kind of late the last couple of shows, and it's actually taken a lot out of me, and I need to get back in the swing of getting the show done earlier on Friday. You know, I've been doing a lot of things with the kids, trying to get them ready to get back to school, and it just seems by the time I get in the office here and get started, it's been it gets real late. And of course, after putting in a full day's of work, so you guys, I have to apologize. Energy level has not been where it should be, and we'll try to remedy that on Friday to getting the show out earlier. And we'll work on that on future shows. But again, I want to thank you for staying subscribed. As always, we wanted you to send your comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And also, you can Skype me at Geek News Central or send email to geeknews@gmail.com. If you have a promo, send it to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. I'm going to play some promos right now, and then I have a few words at the very end. But again, thanks for tuning in, folks, and we'll be back with you again on Friday with another live and exciting show. And stand by now. We'll play a promo from Game Chat, Sturgeon's Law promo, and 3206. So check this out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Hello, everyone. This is Christopher Tyler, host of Game Chat Live. Have any of you ever wanted to get your daily dose of gaming on your way to work or school? How about the best of PodSafe music and mashups? Well, that's where Game Chat comes in. Every day, I inform you of current happenings in the world of console and PC gaming, along with previews of future games and great reviews of current ones. All of this is combined with music to help you get through your day. Check it out at http://gamechat4u.blogspot.com or search on the word Game Chat in iTunes. Happy listening.
Yes, but 90% of everything is crud.
Yeah. Hey, this is Random of the Sturgeon's Law podcast, letting you know what we're doing at www.sturgeonslaw.com. Basically, every week we pick stuff that we think is in the 10% of things that aren't crud and let you know about them in case you haven't heard about them before. So once again, that's every week at www.sturgeonslaw.com, and we hope to see you there. Bye now.
Issues in the world, and what's on my mind. I'm the proud founder of the Teen Podcasters Network. If you're interested in hearing the teen view, head on over to commonercast.tk. Don't miss out.
All right, folks, I promised you a nice song at the end, and this is an instrumental. It's from Darren Leong, When Home is Far Away. He's in New York, but he's a Hawaii native. And his website is at www.hawaiiguitar.com. You can check out the CD if you're interested in it. It's Darren Leong, When Home is Far Away. And the track that I'm going to play off the CD is called Warmer Days. Let me know what you think about it. And if you like the CD, make sure you send Darren an email and say, hey, we loved your song. And check out the rest of his tracks. There's 13 tracks on the CD. But anyway, enjoy Warmer Days. Told you that was a nice song, wasn't it? All right, folks. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha. Thanks for staying subscribed. Bye-bye.